Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today, we have Kat Ladkani, a Miami-based mindset coach who helps others break free from their limiting beliefs and reconnect to their inner power. After navigating severe anxiety and burnout, Kat transformed her life from a daily practice and now guides others, especially women, to find their at-home in their bodies, build self-trust, and create lives rooted in joy, stillness, and personal freedom. Kat, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Romy. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
I am excited to have you. Very excited to have you. Just so everybody knows, Kat and I do have sort of like a friendship outside of this podcast and stuff like that. I met Kat through some mutual friends, and her and her partner are amazing people. And I follow Kat on social, and she posted something, I think it was like a month ago, Kat. And I was just like, I don't know, man, I got to have this girl on my podcast. We've got to talk more about this, like, in person. Just because when we do get together, like, our conversations are just like, wow, right? And so I wanted everybody else to kind of get the feel of Kat and like hear her magic. And that's why I asked her to be on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kat, let's talk through your story. I don't know what part of your story you want to talk about, but, you know, I kind of want to know how you got here to where you're kind of like living out your dream right now, but like take us through.
Yeah. I think my story started when I was living in California. I had just graduated college and I was figuring out what I wanted to do. I was in a not so healthy relationship at the time. And there was just a lot of moving pieces. And I started to get really bad anxiety. And I didn't really know what anxiety was at the time until I met my first panic attack. And that was when I was like, oh my God, am I dying? Like, what's going on? And I was convinced that there was something wrong with me, like physically, like I had something going on. And it wasn't until I had a few more panic attacks that I was like, okay, something needs to change. I went to all the doctors. I went to an emergency room once. And they were all just like, I think you have anxiety. Yeah. So it really took just like finally getting to the point where I was like, okay, something needs to change. And I think all of the anxiety just stemmed from like the unknowns that were going on and my body also being like, hey, something is not aligned here. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to start therapy, which is where I got into mindfulness. And I really learned how to kind of self-soothe myself through panic attacks and learn how to trust my body and tell my body that I'm actually okay, and kind of understand what was going on there. So anyways, from there, I just got super into, okay, how can I better understand my mind? How can I better understand like how to help myself through these situations? So I really dove into breath work, meditation, mindfulness. And then fast forward from there, I got out of that relationship. I was actually supposed to move to New York with this person. And it wasn't until last minute that I was like, wait, I cannot do this. Right. Like, as I continued to kind of hear the signals from my body, and just what I was feeling. So I moved to New York by myself. I ended up doing it still. And that was like a whole other piece to it. I really got the opportunity to dive into me. I was always in relationships. I grew up with two sisters. So like I was always around people and I didn't understand like the value in also being alone and like getting to know myself and taking all these risks. And I say this from a place of privilege too, because I feel like a lot of the women in my family didn't have that opportunity. Like they couldn't just move to New York and start this life by themselves. So as I did that, I got to know myself more. I explored just like different parts of myself. I was dating for the first time, like real dating, like just like kind of figuring out what I liked and what I wanted and what I didn't like and what I didn't want. And I also started living alone for the first time, which was like a big piece to it too. I really got to understand my own rhythm and the things that I like to do in the morning and the ways that I like to end my night and all these little things that I feel like are often taken for granted. And sometimes people don't even get to experience this for themselves. And in doing that, I really got to understand the power of getting to know myself. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Like, trusting myself. There were so many moments where I was like, am I going to be able to pay rent this month? Like I was really learning to trust myself in ways I had never had to before. So that was a big piece of it. And then I became a coach. I should go back actually. In California, I started teaching Pilates. Okay. That was also a big part of my story. When I first started teaching Pilates, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just going to, like, I feel called to do this, so I'm going to do it, which is like how most things begin in my life. That's a pattern with me. And at the time, the person I was dating was like, how are you going to do this? Like, this is so not you. Like there was a lot of doubt, and I like kind of felt like the people around me were doubting me too. I ended up doing it. It was fine. I was learning as I went. When I went to New York, I found a studio that happened to be somewhat connected to the one that I was teaching in California. And that studio gave me the chance and opportunity to teach for them, which is how I met so many incredible women and how I also built the confidence that I have this day, because I knew nobody. I had to like prove myself. The style of teaching was way different from what I was doing in California. So I also had to like pull out this part of me that I had never met.
Sure.
So that was a big piece of my story as well. And then oddly enough, that same studio in New York is the one that brought me to Miami. Mm. So I feel like California was my moment of like, okay, I've grown up here my whole life. I was there for 27 years and I felt something needed to change. New York was like, okay, I made the change, but like, I still feel something going on, but I'm going to sit with myself and dig deeper. And then Miami was like, okay, I now have the tools from my journey. Now, how can I like share these with the world?
Right. Yeah. And I want to highlight a couple things, right? You stepped into a role that you knew nothing about, that you had everybody kind of doubting you, right? Like, this is not really you. and you still pursued it, and it was a breadcrumb, right? Mm-hmm. It was a breadcrumb to New York, and then a breadcrumb to Miami, and continuing breadcrumbs, right? But you following your intuition, your gut, your instincts is what allowed you to continue to unfold. And it's almost mm-hmm. like a small reward every time you do that. And it's really cool. I had no idea how you got to Miami. So it's really cool mm-hmm. to hear the story of how it all unfolded for you. That's mm-hmm. very dope. Very dope. I want to ask you, you talked about anxiety, and I still want to go back to your story here, but you talked about anxiety and not knowing what was happening in your body. And I feel that, I felt the same way. I had no idea what anxiety was, right? I just knew that I'm not feeling okay. What mm-hmm. are some of the feelings that people have? And I think now everybody's aware of anxiety, and we're very mental health conscious and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But I still think that there are still some feelings within the body that we're unaware of that actually can manifest into anxiety. What are some of those that you're aware of that people may not be?
I think the biggest things now that I realize it is like my chest feels so heavy when I have anxiety, and there's almost like this feeling of not having control.
Yeah.
And like you can feel that, and it'll manifest in your body one way or another. But really, it's just your mind kind of convincing you. Like it's kind of like a rabbit hole. The more you listen to it, and the more you're like, oh, wait, oh my God. You like go deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And that's when the panic attacks kind of trigger.
And so what's a best practice now when you realize whatever the tension is in your body, what's a really good practice for someone? Something simple that you can do while in a meeting or while having a conversation with someone. What's something that somebody can do to self-soothe?
There's two things. So when I'm in a meeting, I like to like ground my feet, like feel my feet on the floor, like feel a connection in my hands. And then also just like being aware of my breath, those moments where I'm like super introverted and I like don't love speaking in front of people, but I've had to kind of like befriend that part of just like what I'm doing. So if I can feel my voice getting shallow in my throat or like my chest tightening, I'm like, okay, wait, let's pause for a second. I just like take a breath and then I keep going.
Right. Yeah,
because
awareness is key, right?
Mm-hmm. Because often we want to like fill the room in those moments with like noise and talking and acting like I know what I'm saying, but it's okay to pause and take a breath.
Yeah. Yeah. And do we want to fill the room with noise because we're feeling a little chaotic and that'll make us feel a little bit better? Or we think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I think of? Have you seen Inside Out?
Yeah, I love that movie.
You know the anxiety character, like trying to like do all these different things on the dashboard? Like, I feel like that is truly what's going on.
Yeah. No, 100%. That character was so well. I mean, all the characters were well done, but that character, if you like have anxiety,
mm-hmm.
really well. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it does actually a really good job of just like understanding that all of these feelings in us are valid, but they're just like kind of characters, and how can you learn how to make those characters work in your favor?
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed within me most recently that like when I am in a less than good place, I find that if I acknowledge that character and almost like bring it in and love on it instead of like pushing it away, the character just wants to be loved as it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I feel like that helps me, acknowledge it, stop denying it, like the, you know, your shadow side or whatever it is, you know, people call it. Mm-hmm. But, I know that that's super deep, but like just understanding that it is also part of you, and you can't meditate it away, you can't pray it away, you can't You can do a lot of things to help you heal from it, but you just can't exit out of your life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was actually for a while I would like push those parts of me away and I'd be like, no, I just need to be like optimistic and positive and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until recently that I'm like, okay, like both can exist and it's okay. And they make us whole.
Yes, absolutely. So. Absolutely. You know, I get a lot of questions about what should people do in the morning? You know, as a leader, I think you pour out so much of yourself, right? When you go into the world. Mm-hmm. And if you're not prepared, you almost like empty yourself out and you become depleted really quickly. Mm-hmm. And you come home and there's not much of you left for the other half of you, possibly the most important parts of you, right? Mm-hmm. Your family, your time together. What are some of the daily practices that you do and what do you help other people find that is their daily ritual or practice?
Yeah. Some things that I do is I like to breathe in the morning. Mm. There's a technique that I really like. It's called balanced breathing. And it's basically just like matching your inhales for the same amount of time as you exhale. Ideally getting to the point where you're like breathing in for six and then breathing out for six. Cause that's like the natural rhythm that we should be breathing at technically.
Oh, wow.
But normally it's like shallow inhale, shallow exhale. So that's something that I really enjoy either before bed or in the morning.
Okay.
I'm working with a coach right now myself, and she's been helping.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
I need to stay accountable for my own stillness practice. Every day before 12 o'clock, I'm getting 20 minutes, maybe a little bit less depending on my schedule, to just like be. Mm. Like just like close my eyes, breathe. And that's honestly when I get like the most clarity and like internal pings. And, you know, you just kind of get to scan what's going on within you.
Yeah.
But I'm also learning. I don't think there's like a right way to do it.
Yep.
I think for some people, taking a 10-minute walk in the morning before they start their day, if that's going to anchor them and like give them a moment to just be with themselves, then that's what they should do. Yeah. If it's journaling, I do think that there should be a component of like quietness, yeah, only because of the world we live in right now. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't like to say like it should be like this and it's only like this. I think it's something that people should explore.
Why is stillness so intimidating for people?
I think it's because it really gets us out of our rhythm, because it's like often we're like going. And if we stop, it's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, like it's just different from what we're conditioned to doing.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, stillness kind of requires you to like sit with yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what's so scary about yourself?
That's such a great question.
Yeah. I don't know if it has an answer. I just, you know, I always like to like ask, because sometimes I'm intimidated by my own stillness.
Yeah, me too. There's days where I'm like, oh, I don't want to sit down today. And I fight it so hard. But you know what? I think it's just, there's a level of honesty that comes with having to sit with yourself. Like, do I like what I'm doing during my 9-to-5 life? Like, yeah. Am I showing up as three different people in my life on a regular day? Like, those kind of things can sneak up during those moments.
I know when I
do. I like my partner. Like,
that's real shit.
Yeah,
it's real shit. I know when I first started meditating, it would be like a second thing I did in the morning. So in the first part of the morning, you know, I was super like productive, and I would write out like my to-do list for the day, and then I would meditate, and then I would, after meditation, be like, this list means nothing, right? And it was kind of scary. Because like I had to get these things done, or so I thought. But after meditation, there was like only one thing to do, right? And to live in this world, right, that's very material, and understand that everything is, you know, happens in another dimension right now. But you know, it was very confronting for me to not have a to-do list of things that I needed to do, to accomplish, to make money, to this, to that. Mm-hmm. So I think, to your point, there's a set of honest questions and maybe not questions, more answers that start to arise within you in stillness. And there's courage required to look at that and be honest with yourself.
You said that so beautifully. It's like you realize what matters and what doesn't.
Yeah. And so I agree with you. Everybody's morning ritual is different. And I still ask people to just, even if it's a minute, even if it's 2 minutes, set a timer and just sit and just be amazed as to what happens. And I think I've never, ever regretted meditating or being still or any of that stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So almost like a workout. You don't ever really regret it. So
yeah.
Thank you for that.
I think recently I've been thinking about like, why is this something that I feel so passionate about? And I think it comes from being a teacher and a coach, because you're often giving so much, like you mentioned, as a leader. And it can be really easy to overgive and just continue overgiving. And then you find yourself showing up in a way that's not even your true self. Like, it's like you're just so tired and you're giving from a place of
guilt.
Like, this is all I've got, like, take it or leave it, versus filling your own cup and like feeling energized by giving to others.
Yeah. There was somebody that told me that you should fill your cup up and overflow, and the overflow is what you give. Right. But you always have to make sure that you're full first. And I was just like, holy shit, what a different way of thinking. Because we have this martyrdom characteristic that we just programmed with. Right. And we think it's self-sacrificing, and it's so, you know, it's so loving to just pour out, but it's not, right. Because the first person you have to love is you. And that was very different for me. And I still haven't digested it all the way, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
Because that means that I have to give so much to myself. And do I deserve all that I want to give to myself, right? There are some really deep questions there that we won't touch on.
That part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that actually my coach kind of has brought up as well. We were talking about like overgiving and wanting to do everything, but you can't do everything. And she was like, humility can be exhausting. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a level of humility and there is a level of too much.
Yeah. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's okay. It really, really is. You know,
yeah.
What are some things that you know about yourself in your journey that you never have to question? Like you said, you know, when you moved to New York, you lived alone for the first time. Will I be able to pay rent? What are some of these values or some of these things that you learned that you know are part of you now that you may have questioned back then?
I think there's two parts to it. One of them is, I know that I'll always be okay. Mm-hmm. But the second part to that is there's so many moments still today where I'm like, why is this happening? Or like, what is the purpose of this? And I feel like I've been like instilling in myself that it'll all make sense later in the grand scheme. Like, we always want to know what's going on right now. Like, why? Like, what is this? Like, I want the answer now. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like the in between, I think, is the part that I'm learning to enjoy.
Yes.
And know that no matter what, like today, October 9th, Thursday, I will look back on this day and be like, wow, this and this happened. That was beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was telling Kat before the episode that I just did a podcast, and it's about bouncing back after, you know, you get knocked down or whatever. And I think that people naturally are resilient, right? You just get up. You always get up, right? Naturally. But there's a whole other part that we're, I think, unaware of happening in the background. And it's like we just talked about the values or who you're becoming when you get up, right? It's this whole other part of getting up is not an option. Like, staying down is not an option, I guess. And getting up is the only option. But then like who you become in that is really where like all the juice sits, right? And if you can like tap in and give yourself your flowers of doing all these things and acknowledging it and being aware of it, then you move in this world so differently, mm-hmm. right? Because you're a coach now and people look up to you, right? But the girl from California, right? Could Kat from California have been this person? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that self-reflection and not only like the what is there to learn from this, but also looking at how far you've come really helps you build that confidence that you have today, that I know of you, to be a coach, to be on social media and say the things that you want to say and be that person, you know, because I think we've talked about this, but social media wasn't always easy for you, right?
Mm-hmm. No, we've come a long way. I still have my days where I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But to your point, I do think that those moments of being knocked down, if you can just like save those little moments of you getting back up in like a little corner in your mind and like use them in those future moments where you're being knocked down, like you made it through that, so you can make it through whatever is ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Reference points, right? For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. For sure. So what other practices do you have other than breath work? Like, what are you coaching people on? What have you seen? Like I want to say the most results, because I think that that's very, almost material in 3D, but what do you see that people resonate with the most?
I think creating your own personal practice. Like we said, I feel like we're in this go, go, go mentality, and creating pockets of time for ourselves, 5 minutes a day, can make the biggest impact. I'm working with a group right now and they're taking 5 minutes a day for themselves every morning. And one person already is like, wow, I've had so many realizations happen in this past week. So it's like, taking the time to pause can make the biggest impact in your life. Yeah. And just help you see clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. What does a coaching session with you look like?
It depends. I honestly love guiding meditations. Okay. In particular, future self meditations. Because I'm just like such a dreamer myself. And I attribute part of that to why I am where I am today, because there wasn't a moment in time where I wasn't like thinking about like, okay, like what would I feel like if I were this person 3 years from now?
Yeah.
And even still doing that in my meditations today has helped me so much and helped me become the person I am. And I don't know that a lot of people take the time to really step into their future selves. Like really, like what does it feel like to be who you want to be a year from now?
Right.
And can you step into that tomorrow? Even though you're not physically there yet?
Yeah.
Like what would that look like?
Yeah. How do you walk someone through that?
So it's based on the practice that I lead is based on Tibetan Buddhist practices. But basically it's just kind of sitting with your future self. Like they are in the room with you. Mm-hmm. Like what attributes do you love that you feel from them? And then from there, like, can you sit and focus on the fact that those attributes are already in you?
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't be there if you weren't where you are right now.
And that,
so now, So now what would it look like if you embodied those attributes now? Mm-hmm. Like the moment you open your eyes after this meditation. So that's something very near and dear to my heart.
And what have people told you about that for them? Like what realizations, what epiphanies have they had after that sort of practice? I know I do it sometimes and it's wild. Even hearing you say it, I started to picture, because I'm a dreamer too, I started to picture mine and I'm like, oof. So like, but what do people often say or what do you feel when you do that?
For myself, so a part of it is also like, what piece of wisdom would your future self give you right now? So it's like that intuitive ping of like, oh, I need to slow down more, or oh, I need to show up better at work. Like, how can I do X, Y, and Z? And for other people, I've heard similar experiences, like things they didn't realize needed to happen in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of, I think there's a thing on social that says, like, if everybody was watching the movie of your life.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Right? What would they be screaming at the screen for you to do like right now? And that shit just brings you like face to face with
mm-hmm.
you know, right? But you're pretending doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And that future self really does. And it's so gentle. Right. As I'm thinking about it right now, it's such a gentle piece of wisdom and it's so harsh at the same time because you're like, yeah, I know I should be doing that.
Which is really the true practice. Like you're in real life.
Yeah.
Like the sit is nice and the visualization is great. But then like, how are you integrating that into your life?
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned coming from a lineage of women who didn't always have the freedom to say no or to dream big. How has that influenced you specifically, like in the way you lead and why you work with women today?
In short, I think it's just really empowered me to have the audacity to say no or like ask why. Like, why does it have to be like this? Why do I have to do this? So like just being more curious about all of the possibilities.
I don't want it to be in short.
Okay, so you're saying get vulnerable. I think about my mom is like a big a big component of like where I am today and why I'm so passionate about helping people kind of like wake up, if you will.
Yeah.
And she just was, she was somebody who like loved giving to people, like was always doing things for other people, like lived with her parents until she was like 28, was always helping her parents, didn't have like her own personal life, and then like ventured out, came to the States, and kind of just like did what she was told, I feel, which like no shot to her. She was just, you know, doing what she knew. And she got married and like had us. But again, I don't know that it was actually like what she wanted or if it was what she thought she should do.
Right.
And then just her relationship with my dad, like, again, I don't know that she actually really had a voice through it all. And the same goes for like all of her sisters and like their own personal marriages, et cetera. And so just having the tools to know what I want and applying them to my life and like questioning everything and whether or not it actually is something that I want for myself.
Yeah.
Is very important to me. And then also empowering others to do the same for themselves in their own life.
Yeah. Were you the rebel because you questioned everything? I mean, naturally.
I know. That's a great question. I want to say.
Rebel.
Yeah, I definitely was the one out of my sisters to like do everything differently. And everybody was like, why are you doing that? Like, why are you moving to New York? Like, what? Like all of these different things. I would say, yeah. We're all rebels in our own way, I guess.
Yeah. And it has a negative connotation, but I was the rebel in my family as well, just because I too questioned everything. Like, why does it have to be like that? And like back then, explaining the why wasn't a thing, right? That's like a new age thing. Like, our generation bringing the why in because we always wanted to know why.
Mm-hmm.
But our parents were like, it's because I said so.
Exactly.
That, it always stuck with me with like, nah, there's gotta be more to this. Like, why does it have to be that way? And now I think I'm a good leader because I allow people to question me. I'm not offended by the question because I should be able to answer it or, you know, tell you I don't know or go get the answer. Right. But I still see people very offended by being questioned why, as if they're questioning their own personal, mm-hmm. you know, as if they've attached themselves so much to being the authority figure that being questioned is not okay. And, mm-hmm. And so I too encourage people just ask why, like, why does it have to be this way? It's because we've always done it this way. 'Cause that's not a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel you on that. And I love the fact that you took the pieces of your mom's life and you identified the parts that you did not want to replicate. And I'm sure that there's a lot of beautiful things that you have taken from her and that you are because of her.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that you were just like, no, I don't think I want to take this one. Right. And mm-hmm. I think that's such an independent thinker for yourself, because I think, you know, I think God put some of us in our families just to be the one to just say things could be different. And like, I don't know why I'm different, but I just know I am different and I have to honor that within myself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's really cool that that's who you are in your family. And now you're helping other people also awaken to being cool with questioning things. You know, I think that's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, of course. I think the big push to like continuing this path was getting to share practices with my mom. And like, I would teach her breath work. And before she passed, like, she had all of these realizations for herself, like towards the end of her life. And I saw how powerful that was for her. And I couldn't help but think, like, what if she had these tools earlier? Like,
sure.
Like, what if everybody could have these tools earlier in their lives. Like, so I think that's also a big driving force as well.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say something. I hope it's not too vulnerable for you, but I think that I agree with you in that our job now is to bring forth what we've learned to, you know, our parents and the people around us. And I have a coach, Preston Smiles. I don't know if you've heard of Preston, but we were on a coaching call once and it was a cohort. So it was a bunch of people and there was a lady asking a question and she was really, really mad at her mom for something. And he says, what if your mom decided to come here and carry that so that you didn't? And yeah. And I think it healed so many parts of me in one breath, because before this, I was so hard on my parents, right? You should be this, you should be that. And in one sentence, I understood, like, what if they carried that so that I could be free and be a rebel and make different choices and all these things that they're completely unaware that they're doing for us. And I think it's really cool that you're able to bring your mom through and watch her realizations. And what if she carried all of that other stuff so that you and your sisters could be free? Mm-hmm. Right? It's real. And it's a beautiful thought to have, because knowing parents, they would. They really would. They really, really would. Yeah.
Cry.
You can cry. I cry sometimes too.
Think that's also, sorry, I'm just going to say this one last thing. I feel like that's the connecting point for all of us. Like, as a leader, can you see that, like, everybody has something they're carrying? And can you, like, offer to give them a little bit more compassion, a little bit more grace, knowing that?
Yeah.
Can you see yourself in them?
Yeah. That's empathy, right? That's compassion. That's, you may not understand it, but understand that it's heavy for them, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I think that's beautifully said.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be a clip. So if someone was listening and they felt a little lost, whether in their job, their relationship, or their identity, what's one small shift they can make today to try to find their way back to themselves?
Small shift.
Or big.
I'm so extreme. I'm like, go all the way. small shift, I would say, can you, if you're not already, making time for yourself, 5 minutes a day?
Yeah.
No phone.
Okay. What does that look like? Do I
just
journal?
Just you. You just could me. Journal. You could breathe.
No music.
No music. Okay. Only because it's like, those are still external factors that are like influencing your mind to be distracted. You know, I do believe in like music helping you change your mood and shift your mood and uplift you and help you feel your emotions. But I think the 5 minutes of slowing down and slowing down your senses is what's impactful.
Yeah. I like it. I like it a lot. I think I'm going to practice it. 5 minutes, no music. That's different.
Yeah.
I mean, I journal with nothing on, but like, I feel like my thoughts are so, there's so much. So it feels like there's music on, but.
You are the music.
But yeah, that's a beautiful one. That's a very small shift. Again, you know, I think when you put the timer on and you sit still for 5 minutes, you're going to see just how long 5 minutes feels in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in a week or two, 5 minutes is not enough. And that's when you know you have to go to six and then seven. Before you know it, you're so comfortable in your skin and your voice and who you are that like your life just completely changes. And that's what you know, people think that they have to. So let's get into this. This will be what segues us into our close. But we say stillness and people think meditation. But when they meditation, you're supposed to stop your thoughts, or at least that's what, you know, the old habit is. What do you say when you're saying stillness? Is there anything to do?
Just be.
That's it. Let your thoughts, let your...
Yeah, everything. Watch your thoughts. Let them pass. Because I do think there's no way for us to just stop our thoughts.
100%.
They're going to always happen and they're going to always try and like gain your attention.
Yeah.
But just be in those 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try to control anything.
Yeah.
Don't try to stop your thought. You know, don't just again, like Kat said, just be. And I think that that's going to change the way you walk through the rest of your day for sure.
Something that you can also do that I think is also like a great focus test is how long or how quickly do you get distracted in counting 10 breaths?
Okay.
Like close your eyes, count 10 breaths and see like at what point you're like, oh, but also I have to go do this tomorrow. And like, oh my God, I need a coffee.
Yeah. And I'm
it's crazy. It's crazy. And you think 10 breaths, you're like, yeah, no big deal. Whatever. I could do that in a second. So I think that's also a great
challenge.
Technique to practice
for this world that likes challenges and to-do lists. That's a good one.
Exactly.
That's a good one. So any final thoughts for the audience?
My final thoughts are, I think if I had to wrap the reasoning in all of this and the urgency in making time for yourself and developing your own practice, it's that it's really easy to take being alive for granted. Like it's really easy to think, oh, I'm going to be here tomorrow. Like I could postpone quality time with my partner until tomorrow. So if we really live from the perspective of like, every day is a gift, taking the time to really ask yourself every day, are you treating it as a gift?
Yeah.
And if not, what needs to change? What would shift?
Yeah. That's a really deep final thought. That's good. That's wonderful. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on my Instagram page, kat.ladcani, LADCANI. And I have a link tree on there that you can also sign up for one-on-ones or monthly coaching as well.
That's beautiful. We'll have all those links in the show notes for you guys so that you guys can check out Kat. Kat, thank you so much. I appreciate this. I think this is going to be such a cool episode to, like we talked about earlier, just to help transition us from just leadership into like the whole being of a person. And I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate your courage to be vulnerable and to tell us your story.
Thank you, Romy. This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And we should probably do it again. And I was talking to Jamie and Camila, not that the audience needs to know this, but on with like Richard too and just have
I would love that.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, there's a beautiful.
I was just thinking, I didn't even get to like dive into the part where I met the love of my life and my life like fell together.
So let's do that. We'll do that on the next one with him present so that everybody can see. And I think it'll be another fun, just like no agenda. Let's just talk shit and let's just see what happens, right?
That would be super
kind of
fun.
How we are when we're together.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you, Romy. I want to give you a big hug.
Thank you. Big hug.
Thank you so much.
And so that concludes this episode from Leadership from the Heart, guys. Please check Kat out. Again, her links will be in the show notes, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Bye.